switch me over.
Hallelujah Chorus. Handel's Messiah was written by George Frederick Handel. It was first performed on April 13th, 1742, as an Easter musical. And it was a culture-changing event in an odd sort of way. When it opened in the Dublin Music Hall, the management of the music hall had to put out a public appeal that women come in dresses without hoops so they could fit more people in the music hall. But this oratorio, as it's called, lasts more than 2 hours, and it uses only scripture to tell the story of the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the eventual return and rule of Jesus our Lord. But the moment in this two plus hour oratorio where everything changes is the Hallelujah Chorus, right? There's some dark music that sings about Jesus suffering and his death, but the Hallelujah Chorus announces the resurrection of Jesus, and everything changes. We are exactly halfway through, for those of you who are regulars here at Evangel, we're exactly halfway through our journey through Revelation. Actually, and let me mention that the words to the song of the Hallelujah Chorus are taken from our passage, our scripture passage today. It's why I chose to have us listen to that. But we're exactly halfway through our journey through Revelation. And John seems to be aware, as he's writing this revelation, that his readers need to come up for air for a moment. Right? They've been hearing about seals and judgment and trumpets and judgment and all of these things happening. And it's like the readers need to be reminded that all of this is going somewhere really good, right? Before John jumps back into some more freaky, scary stuff in the next chapters. But he wants to remind us that all of this is moving us towards God's good reign and rule in the cosmos. And so when we left off, the last 2 weeks we've kind of been waiting in bated breath because we had the six of the seven trumpets blown, and then there was silence in heaven, and then some other things happened, and we've been waiting for the seventh trumpet to blow. And so this morning we are in Revelation chapter 11. This morning we are not going to, as we often do, look at the resurrection of Jesus through the lens of the Gospels and the story of the actual, like, physical resurrection. But we're looking at the resurrection this morning in its cosmic implications. What does it mean that Jesus rose from the dead? Right? So, Revelation chapter 11, starting in verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." I want to just pause there for a little bit of interactive preaching. You're going to help me. Because this says that the trumpet blew and there were loud voices in heaven that declared, Do you have a loud voice this morning? Can you help me with this? Can we be loud voices? You ready? One, two, three. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Right, so John hears this booming, loud, many voices calling out from heaven. The angels and the saints of heaven crying out. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, the time for judging the dead, for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a severe hailstorm. So first of all, this morning, I want to say that Jesus' resurrection changed everything. When I say everything, I mean everything. Jesus' resurrection was the dawn of the new creation, the beginning of God making all things new. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." Amen? Amen. "The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." This is the gospel. This is the good news for the whole world. Not that Jesus came from a faraway place called heaven and died for our sins so that someday when we die, we can go to a faraway place and escape this rotten world. That's what some people believe the gospel is. But that's not the message of the Bible. The Bible actually never even uses the language of going to heaven. Do you realize that? The Bible doesn't say God wants to rescue us from the world. But maybe more accurately, he wants to rescue the world from us. He wants to heal the cosmos of all the damage that sin and death through human evil has brought on the world. And he wants to make it and us all new. And the beginning of all that was Jesus' resurrection. When Jesus was raised, he was not just resuscitated. He didn't just have a near-death experience, but he died, he was buried, he went to the place of the dead, and then was raised as something entirely new, something the world had never seen, the prototype of the new creation. And what Jesus became in his resurrection, all who trust in him, when he comes, will be like him. Secondly, this morning, Jesus is taking back what is his. God's good creation had been entrusted to humans to rule. and we sold the farm to the devil. By giving our allegiance to the lies of the enemy, by giving our allegiance to false gods over the ages, humans have sold God out. And this book, our Bible, is all about God's plan to take back what is His and make it even better than before. And Paul shows us how Jesus came to undo the ruin that Adam and all of us since brought on humanity and on the world. Romans chapter 5 says, "For if by the trespasses of the one man," that's Adam, "by the trespasses of the one man, death reigned through that one man," right? So the whole universe was changed by sin. Decay and corruption came into the world by that one man. That's what Paul is saying. "How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently," it goes on, "just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous." Let's wrap our brains around this for a moment. One sin, one act of disobedience was enough to corrupt everyone and everything. That's how powerful one act of disobedience was. How many billions of people have lived since that one man? How many billions of acts of disobedience, how many trillions of acts of disobedience have happened since that first one? So multiply the power of one act of disobedience to corrupt the cosmos by trillions, and one act of obedience by Jesus can erase it all. How powerful is what Jesus did in his death and resurrection to undo the sin of humanity and bring hope and life into this world, right? Jesus has more grace than you have sin today, folks. And you can come to him and receive hope and life. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to undo the catastrophe of sin and death by dying. Now, I know it doesn't make sense. It's why our wisdom is foolishness compared to God, right? But Jesus came to undo the power of sin and death by dying. He defeated death by death, and by his resurrection, he released a new kind of life into the world. And as our passage from Revelation 11 that we read this morning says, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, of his Messiah. The rebellious, twisted system of this world, here's hope for you folks. As we come up to Election Day, right? As we try to fix this mess by voting in more mess, right? Whoever it is. Right? The rebellious, twisted system of this world will be brought back under the rule of Christ. Amen? That began at his resurrection. But it will be completed when he returns. Jesus began to rule the moment he rose out of that grave. He began to step into his role as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will come in victory. And all the scattered nations that have rebelled against God since the Tower of Babel and before, throughout history, will be reclaimed by Jesus, and he will rule and reign. 1 Corinthians 15 also says, goes on to say, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So our passage says, when loud voices declared from heaven, right? The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And it says the 24 elders fall on their faces and worship. Now, this is the fourth time in the book of Revelation to this point that this has happened, that the 24 elders have fallen on their face to worship. And as we've talked about, I believe the 24 elders are the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament and the 12 apostles of the New Testament in glory as saints before the throne, representing all the peoples of God. Do you remember in Acts 1, after Jesus' resurrection, that the disciples came to him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus, we've been waiting for you to pull a revolution and kick the Italians out of Palestine, and we've been waiting for you to set up your kingdom. Are you going to do that now, Jesus? Jesus replied, it's not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority. But you can just imagine after a long wait of ages that when Jesus fully and truly takes his throne, that those who have waited so long for him to step in and rule and reign in fullness and completeness will be so overcome with joy and worship, they will fall on their faces and give glory to God. Amen? Thirdly, this morning, judgment is a good thing. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The elders' worship song that follows as they fall on their face and cry out to God, they celebrate the judgment of Christ on the earth. Now, judgment gets a bad rap. Like it's the angry tantrum of a cranky God who's tired of everybody just misbehaving, right? It's like a parent on a long trip hitting the brakes. Do I need to come back there? Right? We don't like the thought of judgment because none of us wants to be held accountable. We want to do what we do and we want to be left alone. But isn't it interesting that all of our justice system on earth is built around the concept of accountability? We want to hold all of those people, whoever those people are, we want to hold them accountable, just don't hold me accountable, right? And so we hold people accountable for breaking the law, whether it's a speeding ticket or a life sentence for murder. You know, none of us would want to live, I guarantee you, none of us would want to live in a world without accountability. There will be an ultimate accountability where we must all answer to our Creator. We're going to circle back to this judgment thing more than once in our series, and so we're not going to spend a long time on it today. But in our passage, it's almost like there's this big sigh of relief in the song that the elders sing. Finally, the judgment of God has come and things will be made right. Those who have been the perpetrators of evil will be held accountable. Those who have raged against God will be silenced. And those who have, it's interesting the way it puts this, but those who have by their greed and rebellion have destroyed God's good earth will themselves be destroyed. Jesus actually spoke of judgment coming at the great resurrection day at the end of the age. He said this, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing," Jesus says. "I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me."